A lot of things started to kind of trap me really in that ego boundaries, and losing my identification with who I am rather than identify with all that miseries. You know what? Ego identity doesn't just dull the mind, dull the physical ability as well. It just becomes who I was. And the sense of what? And I felt like, oh, I can see my body. I had no idea that in that space, I could just recognize the light and look at that light and some hopes of looking at the light, that it was the answer maybe for the time before all this happened, that I was just putting my hand down on the ground and saying, please, please, God, help me. I'm helpless. I have to tell you, bringing the dead body and learning that this is my responsibility always to use that awareness to bring conscious awareness to the body. Understand this body is a field of sensations, and these sensations are the ones that communicating with me.
To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom, from the great philosopher Socrates. You might wonder, is it vital to truly dive in and know who you are? The answer, my friend, is a yes. The more you know yourself better, the better you know how to handle challenging situations in life. More happiness, joy, less stress, and aligned to your highest purpose in life. Like the story and conversation I have with Maryam Nazemi in this episode, we're diving into the importance of knowing yourself better, knowing yourself who you truly are, letting go, and how challenges serve you as a guide to help you transform, and so much more. Maryam Nazemi is a mindfulness meditation facilitator and coach, an expert in mentoring and supporting seniors, new immigrants, and youth, an activist for workers' safety issues since 2003. She teaches skills, practices, and daily lessons that give individuals the ability to connect with their true strength, potential, and resiliency, allowing to overcome challenges with awareness and compassion. Let's listen more with Maryam Nazemi, Who Am I? And the Truth of Who I Am.
Nice. Enjoy. Guest. Maryam Nazemi. Maryam, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here.
Namaste. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here. It's it's pleasure. It's
thank
pleasure.
You. Thank but you. Before that, did I pronounce your last name correct or your full name correct?
Yeah, it's Maryam Nazemi. It's absolutely, it's absolutely was correct. Perfect. And hello to everybody who are sharing this space with us.
Yes, yes. And so, Maryam, what story that most people don't know about you when you were in the discovery of your true self? Could you share with us?
Well, rather than I can, I may change that question to what I didn't know.
Okay.
About myself and this path of discovery, and what caused this discovery, what caused this awakening. And I can just go back to maybe 2002, 2003, when my life was absolutely in a place of a routine of any normal North American lifestyle, mother of two young kids, working full time, going to college as well, part time, and you know, husband who had a restaurant, and then going for expansion in that, in his business, and life was just going on and on, just and of course the image of the future with everything that was going on, that where from here I'm gonna go, what to do, or you know, all that dreams about future life. And suddenly I started to have difficulty with my health, and that was about my lower back. And at first, maybe nobody really paid attention that how important this pain is about. And by the time I found out, I was in an emergency room in the hospital, and then I had to go to massive spinal cord injury and surgery. That was absolutely work related, but it was just so many things. Go sideways in that old history of my workplace. But I remain in that place of, at the same time, my husband, because of some virus that was attacked Ontario and was before COVID, they called SARS, and small mm-hmm. businesses started to collapse. My collapse of health and his collapse of business revenue that was coming, both just came along in the very same time. And all I can say was the experience of a collapsing hopes and dreams and life, and then suddenly feel the calamity of all the and also challenges of having the financial difficulty, challenging of having a body to go back to walking and doing regular things that habitually I thought I was identifying my health based on my movement and my activity and my achievements.
Yes.
And now all that was kind of closing down and narrowing down, and business, we had to just close down. And those time there was no support for small businesses who were kind of hit by this kind of viruses or, you know, outside attacks. And therefore, I just got lost. I was lost. I was very depressed, and anxiety and worrying of the next day and worrying of the next day. Being in intensive rehab to get the body back to normal walk. Be under a lot of very strong medication, painkiller medications. And then anxiety medication, depression medication. Therefore, there were so many doctors were involved in this. And it was just easy to slide down to that ego boundaries and history and feeling deficient, frustrated, angry, and guilty and shame, all that I can name it now, but at that time it was just the building of impulsive emotions, one day more than the next day more than the next. And it was just a continuation. 2-3 years went by like this. I had to stop working, and I thought that I have some compensation that I can, you know, apply for. I did, and I realized that some private organizations are not obliged for providing that kind of a support for work injury. Although I was very depressed and having all that medications and moving very, very slow and you know, kind of depleted, but I started it to just go from this doctor's office to that office to MPP's office, member of the provincial parliament, and say, I need to speak with someone. There is some mistake happening in our province, and maybe we need to pay attention to it. But I was just always in a place of tears. Tears, like, crying. of course, anger was coming out of my voice. It was just like all those angers also had that intensity and contraction in my body, the body that was already on painkiller. A lot of things started to kind of trap me really in that ego boundaries, and losing my identification with who I am rather than identify with all that miseries. You know what? Ego identity doesn't just dull the mind, dull the physical ability as well. It just becomes who I was. It yeah. became who I was. Therefore, the only time but I could just feel a little refuge, it was the time of a meditation, because before everything happens, I was meditating. Therefore, I had that sense of what it means to go inside, close your eyes and look inside. And but in my meditation, it would have taken a long time that I be able to just get in. Get in. But even though if for a second I could feel a different presence, it was just like that different presence was penetrating and putting me in a very different time zone, timeless time zone.
Wow.
And everything just was fine. And then I was opening my eyes and nothing was fine. And it was just like all that cycle suddenly got me to the place that I was losing weight. Medications weren't working. I was sleepless. I was fainting a few times a day, just waking up when my cat was, you know, kind of milking on me, making me wet. And then I realized, where was I? I could only talk to my mom from long distance and say, there's something going on. Something is happening. Something is happening, mom. I'm losing. Everything is kind of disappearing on me. I didn't know what's disappearing on me. It got to the place that for 2 weeks, doctors didn't know what to do. They weren't so sure if they want to admit me in a hospital. I was losing weight. And I was just skin and bone and looking at my body in the mirror and see, oh, this is how before death body is looked like. It was the sense of not knowing, am I supposed to be sad? What am I supposed to do? To the point that one night I realized that, oh my God, something is loosening up in my body. Something is separating from my body. And the sense of what? And I felt like, oh, I can see my body. I can see that shimmering black cover inside my body, but I'm outside my body. And then suddenly I had no idea that in that space, I could just recognize the light and look at that light, and some hopes of looking at the light that it was the answer maybe for the time before all this happened, that I was just putting my hand down on the ground and saying, please, please, God, help me. I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I can't take this body is dying on me. Then suddenly I was like, who is this person is talking to this body and this? It was just like, okay, it's a pure awareness of the conscious that this is the body and here's my prayer. But it wasn't going anywhere. I think I still was on the way. A part of me still was on the way to know where is that voice coming? Where is that light? Who is this? What's this spacious? It is awareness, but looking at the light and felt like, I have work to do. My kids are young and the country needs me. Suddenly I felt like the body was just like, ah. And then I opened my eyes. I opened my eyes, and then that night, it was the night that I only learned not to ever doubt it, because it would dismiss what I brought back to life again. And that was awareness. Awareness of life, awareness of that is spacious, and it's kind of with the capacity to bring everything as one. That capacity is spacious, and there is no start and end. Well, imagine coming back with something new that transformed things. And now I am in, and I don't know what is it? What is it? And then there it starts the curiosity, then starts to really put the intense work with devotion, with commitment, with interest, with curiosity, with years of inquiry, years of studying and getting training, not because of identifying myself in this world with something that, yeah, there was many recognition, but to really put the life and value and respect and discernment to that light that was behind this awareness, behind this hopefulness, you know. Therefore, ego self, it was just like not letting it go. And then my work and my practice, what is it that I need to let go? That was kind of a help from true self. But again, that was the years of the being in the practice, and also teaching, become a teaching part, become, you know, become useful as a teaching part. And also my advocacy becomes something bigger than who I ever thought I am. And that was run by compassion. If I feel this pain, if I be fallen in these barriers without the support, this is how life is look like. This is North America. There's not much support, really. Social supports are very limited. But we need a set law and rules and policies that allows the worker to feel that support during the injury, and not to take that much of a struggle to come back up. They provide you support to make it easier for you to hopefully back to normal. The normal as the norm it can be at the time with what it is. Therefore, that allowed me to really selflessly, that was the practice of selfless Mariam, who did not identify with nothing, was just be in compassion in action, love in action, reality in action, law in action, all that reality. I was just focused on certain thing, and that allowed me to take it to many, many organized places, labor's unions, and with their support, we took it to the press, and we took it further to all the MPP offices, and get the Minister of Labor's and Premier of the Promise to look into it again, get a lot of reports out of everywhere. It was a work that just showed me what human power has no limitation, no one face. I don't need to be a lawyer to do what I did. you know. Therefore, it's a hard work. It's a learning opportunity. It's something that allowed 150,000 of young workers to come under the coverage. Well, I was recognized, and at the end, I was recognized and got a medal for a good citizen.
Nice.
On the other hand, I have to tell you, bringing the dead body and learning that this is my responsibility always to use that awareness to bring conscious awareness to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this body is a field of sensations, and these sensations are the ones that communicating with me, mm-hmm. learning different part of the body, learning my mind. And that allowed me to realize that, oh my God, I am not my thoughts. I'm so much more. Yeah, it was an eye opener. It was just, and then something that I forgot to mention after that very, after that really coming back to life, night of my life. The next day I wanted to take the medications, the routine medications, my painkillers, my depression medications and all of that. And they weren't going down my throat. I was drinking water with it, sticking to my tongue.
Wow.
And I had to go to all my doctors and say, well, here's the medications. That was the end of taking medications. I mostly become a person who taken the responsibility to look after all parts in my body.
Mm-hmm.
As I was learning more and more that each part of me can be handled by awareness or can be handled by turmoil.
Either
and
way.
At every moment I have a choice.
Yes.
But the practice make the choices kind of based on the resonancy, on where am I going, where the shift is, where the stage of my understanding and discernment is. That's from where I got into the journey to where that I found that, you know, life is the ocean, and ocean has all that waves.
Beautiful. I agree. I love how you use that metaphor, because the ocean, it has waves, it has strong waves, it has its own season of calmness as well. So it's the same thing with our life, right? And I love you mention about we are not our thoughts that we think we are. And I think this is what many of people are being challenged. And, you know, the next question that I'm about to ask you, I think you would agree, based on those thought leaders, including yourself and well-known people out there who've been talking about this on and on, about investing, putting a space and time to really dive into knowing ourselves better, you know, having that awareness, as what you said. But I think many people still refuse to do so until one scenario, one event, one condition that will put you into worsened situation. Many cases will be put into accident, or you have a disease, or you have a health condition that you have to attend to. And so my curious question to have your perspective or your belief, and also what you practice, because now you have huge mission and purpose, not only for yourself, but really, you know, to the human, to people, as long as you're living. Why do you think that it's super vital to know ourselves better?
Well, who we are this is my experience, is as a conscious awareness, if we keep reminding ourselves, then what is awareness? What is it that I need to be aware? Therefore, it brings us to who we are and who we are not. Then we are more clear about how we perceive our lives and as well as other people's lives. Therefore, it gives a space to everybody. Who I am, my true self, that is different than ego self, is a kind of a, like a self, is like a silver mirror, is objective. It goes by reality, reality of things as they are. Therefore, it's more like I am in the immediate contact with present moment. And being in a present moment allows us to kind of be in the full manifestation of human heart, human mind, human body, and how this complex of me as being works. And as long as my beingness is the guide of my respond to the reality, I'm less reactive. I'm not wasting too much time on the stories, which we know. It's so easy to go back to the ego boundaries and the histories that wanted to remind us. But present moment has its own empowering quality that allows us to pay attention to our experience.
Yes.
With the intention, and the intention is like a GPS from inner GPS that it tells us, okay, here's the point of a focus now, here's the point of a focus now, now here's the next, now your mind is not here, don't judge it, just witness it, pause. Because that part is still might be sometimes get activated, depend on the new story, the new kind of stories in life, which now I don't call those stories now. I call it unfolding of the reality.
Nice.
And that unfolding of the reality, as long as I am more present, feel my presence and the presence of a conscious awareness, I can be more responsive. And even though if somehow I'm not responsive, I don't get it to the emotional impulsive reactivity. I feel like, oh, no. I think I made a mistake. Okay, yes. Let me take a look at it again. I become curious that if I take a look at it again, what is it that I see now? And then with interest, with inquiry, with bringing the intention and attention, because attention is the faculty that runs through our life, and to find ways to be in relationship with our experience. Therefore, the more you know yourself, the more benefit you get from using these practices to how to be present with unfolding of experiences. Some are pleasant, some aren't pleasant. But that the space, the practice, the space of equanimity allows you to have that kind of a wing that is still flying over pleasant and unpleasant with sort of a confidence that this energy in you is the essence of all the goodness. Trust it. Have faith for it.
That's the strong one.
Don't take it for granted.
Yes.
You know, the faith to my own kindness and compassion to take me through unpleasant experiences. To stay with me. Be one with me. It's a good friend. It's something that until I find a friend to listen to my problem, I am still not alone. I get the support. I think the more we bring it to our unpleasant and difficulties, the better we can just see that awareness of the body, it's contraction. Oh, I feel anxiety. Let me hold you tenderly. Is there a story behind it? Where is the obstacle? Where is the better way I can approach this? First, take care of this person, this spirit, this self, in order to give the good kind of energy out to the person that I need to support, to the things that I need to do, to that kind of anger that I experienced it. But as soon as I experience it, because of the practice, I realize the heat. And as soon as I realize the heat, I transforming it to the strength of, let me see what this anger is about. It might be assertiveness. It might be something that I didn't know about myself, the truth about myself. And now let that anger suddenly become the strength of vigilancy to see what is it that I need to do that is the benefit of where I am, where my life is, where the journey going, where the unfolding requires from me. Therefore, that's what I think, that it makes you not only become present, understand the present moment, understand the presence of yourself, presence of awareness, being aware of the awareness, but not that it's as hard, because as soon as we unlearn and it starts to practice the new learning, the body is the place of all that. It's already being like that. We're just trying to kind of clear out the things that it just kind of polluted it. And that's why I think that's important.
Yeah.
It doesn't because it's not a self-pity. It's not being lazy. It motivates us. It gives us the courage to stand up for things that is right to be righteous about.
Yes.
And then letting go of things that you become hopeless to fix or hopeless to change. And find that, and because there are so many of those blockages that is not only about me, maybe it's about me and my mother who already passed away, for example. Yeah.
The history.
That's the place, history. And then that was the place that I learned that I need help, universe, to help me to let that go.
I love it.
Therefore, you become even truthful to the weaknesses that it also arising, and you feel like you need help from. That's as far as I think I can go with this.
Yes.
Unless it's going to be all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think one of the things that I could share a little bit, the importance of knowing ourselves, and it's not a self action, it's actually a love to ourselves, so we can offer our service, our love more to others. You know, many people in our old programming, in our old conditioning, in our old history, from our ancestors, from our parents, we have this conditioning that we believe we have to give more for us to receive more. But I think slowly, I don't know, maybe you have a point of view with this. In my experience, being people pleaser and then evolve to embracing my authentic myself and really investing on myself to know myself better, so then my true self which are the mission and the purpose I'm doing right now to transform and empowering people, I've got to really invest on myself. So I know what works for me, how I can, you know, balance that wing, like what you said, in terms of pleasant and unpleasant. So I just want to reiterate that to those people who are watching and listening right now, that this is not a selfish action. It's actually more on how we can serve better, that we separate ourselves first in a point of season, in a point of time, so we can offer ourselves bigger.
We are bigger than what we think we are. And it's a part of being human. We're limited sometimes with all that capacity that came before us.
Yes.
Therefore, and a lot of time without the meditation, it's just or a state of meditative mind, I may forget, but I keep remembering myself. I bring the kind of a ritual in my daily activities that it keeps me reminded of grace, of gratitude, reverence.
Yes.
As before, the ego self did not even know the word of reverence and gratitude and balance. Be harmonious in the midst of something that is not at all pleasant to hear. And I have been in those situations. As you said, it's a matter of knowing that when we get to that kind of a space, as the more clear we are, the better clearly we can hear others and compassionately take their story to heart and be present with what best we can provide. That it may help him or her to the shift that changes the little bit of a perspective, and then shift a little, support more, and that requires skills, and training.
Yes,
and be kind of curious. You know, sometimes I laugh when I'm curious to see. I'm not feeling well at all. I'm curious to see how this practice works. And I just get into it.
Yes.
I just want to know how. I have no outcome. I'm human. I'm in that place.
Love
but
it.
I know the first aid kit is in me. I just dig in. I just, without the judgment of how I feel, I'm kind of witnessing it. Mindfulness, first kit, I go through that and I pause and I work with what is.
Yeah.
And that if I work with what is, I can help others to really feel and work with what is and with the felt sense, kind of discern the practice, not because I'm teaching them something. No, this practice is coming to you. See how well you can discern it. But I'm here as your support. But so that support is in you. Like I had a client today on Friday, little bit of a turmoil in his life with depression, deep chronic depression. And then in our first session, I said, before we really set any time and commitment, just have a little introduction to the space that I provide for you.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting when a little bit of a description of the meditation that we were supposed to do took him to that meditation. And then after that, usually we do some inquiry. This part of the meditation, how was it for you, part of the meditation? And he said, this is a very intellectual word. it's wisdom. And I said, how did you know it's wisdom? So I felt it. So that wisdom is you, is in you.
Yeah.
You felt it. That suddenly opened something for him. I don't know, but I just saw that he said, yes, because I came to present, I felt the present moment, and then I realized that that the past is still lingering, the past is waiting for me.
Yeah.
And then I said, what happened? He said, got in. The past got in. So that's very good. That's all we want, awareness of all that.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing else in there. Being aware that there is a story that causing me depression and chronic cycle of impulsive emotions and habitual way of building up, not the clearing out. And that's the job of the conscious ego part of us.
Yeah.
That's conscious too. But it's a different consciousness when the awareness comes. And that you are right. Absolutely. I validate with absolute certainty what you are saying, what we are doing here by getting to know our purposes and our beingness and be truthful to that, be in that practice, serve the purpose inside, therefore the fruition comes to others.
Yes.
As I am satisfied that I am doing what I am obliged to do, and with direct, immediate presency with it. When I am there in that space, it's not I am Maryam doing this, you know, all of that. Is that essence of the work, is essence of the true self that is coming to the face of working together. Let's
True.
Work with your emotion. Let's work with your painful heart. Let's work with those pains that cracks our heart. Let's work with that emotion that makes you worthless of not being depressed.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's not worth to be in a spacious a space of being human. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes I feel like, oh, there's a sense of depression I am experiencing. That's one of the waves of being human.
True.
But
true.
I surf.
It's how you respond with the
how
situation, right? So I agree with you. And, you know, it's very interesting that it's beautiful to see as many people nowadays recognize the time to be open for seeking for help. When, unfortunately, I see this many times, like they will be open to seek for help when things are becoming worse, as I mentioned earlier. But I am super curious, Maryam, would there be any practice or tool or ritual, I would say, that's super simple? I know you've been hearing this, or I'm guessing you've been hearing this with many people nowadays. I want the easiest. I want the simplest. I want the just like now, you know. And for me, one of the best things that I would say is that, I mean, to give you an example of what I've learned with myself, knowing myself, that I thought I didn't like to read book, but then I realized it's just a matter of what kind of books yet I'm going to read. And now I can't live without reading books. I have started like just feeling the book, you know, there's no excuse with that. And it took me like a pattern, you know, until I'm ready. So now I'm super curious, how would you, or what would be your practice, one specific practice, or maybe two, three, or tools that you could share with us as for those people right now, maybe not willing to seek for professional help yet, but they're willing to do the inner work on their own to know themselves better. What's your practices or tools that you could suggest or recommend?
Well, as you know, these days, nowadays, I myself, because I constantly study and research, I'm amazed of different modalities and ways in which people can find some sort of alternative help. I think the best way, in a way that I have seen that different generations and different kind of communities have learned better of how to even attempt to practice. Mm-hmm. It was to first making them aware of the mind, what mindfulness is.
Okay. So let's dive into that.
When they learn, this is basic to me, that is what when they learn what mindfulness is, I'm thinking, how could I stop thinking? They right away, they become aware of, yeah, you're right, I'm constantly thinking. The second question is, if I'm not thinking, then what's going to happen? You know what I mean? We identify with the thoughts.
You're
that,
still thinking.
Oh, if I'm not thinking, then who the hell I am?
You're still thinking because you're asking. Yeah.
You forget that you are such a precious person. That's who you are. That mindfulness allows them to at least understand there is a present moment as well as past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
This space is constantly being missed. Did you know that?
Mm. Yes.
Did you know that the present moment, the presence of the moment is constantly missing?
Yeah.
With some group work that I do, people learn to get a call from doctor and not to start thinking the worst and wait until they go and see the doctor and see the result. That was, for me, it was good start. Mm. You become aware of how this little self and the whispering self, little self, ego self, is being constantly here. But at the same time, if you become aware of it, where do you go to the present moment? What is it that you need to do? Call the doctor, confirm that appointment, rather than being fearful. Let that fear become your strength to pick up the phone and call. Hmm. And meanwhile, monitor your mind if it wants to listen to something that it creates turmoil out of nothing. Although what we do, we don't know what that is. We just have to go and figure that out.
So, you know, I don't want to disrupt you, but just suddenly I have this curious question that many people procrastinate, right? To, as an example that you said about making an appointment, but like really diving or sipping into that choices, and as the choices keep on thinking and thinking until they realize, I haven't made a choice. I'm just thinking what choice I can have, but I just keep on thinking the choices. So in this point of mindfulness, you know, and as you know, and as we all know, that we have now a lot of choices to take. It's the information is there. It's all about taking the action. So what would you suggest that when people are facing this procrastination in knowing themselves, at what level, at what point for them to decide? So they know that, okay, because you mentioned about listening to that inner voice. And when we are so busy here, I believe we just can't. So what would you suggest for them to really connect deeply with that inner voice?
That's okay. I'm acknowledged that I am procrastinating. Oh, Mariam, you're procrastinating. Oh, procrastination is here. And this is how it feels when I procrastinate. It becomes a discernment. But if there's no judgment over the procrastination, then I understand the procrastination has this kind of effect. And I witness that. I witness the procrastination without the judgment and I pause. Each one of these emotion expresses themselves in a different way. Each one of them has its own waves. Just be aware of those waves, these procrastinations. Therefore, I explore with kind of a not only awareness, I deepen in my attention where the procrastination come from. Because one way or another, there would be a time to really dissolve and resolve and let go and move on. Therefore, when I see the roots, one time you see all of these things get repeatedly coming to us until we really see it. We're ready to see it. The more awareness is there, the more non-judging awareness is there, the more witnessing is there. Witnessing is just bring a lot of options to curiosity and possibilities, that it's not whispering. It's reality in action. It's love in action. It's understanding is in action. That's how I see it. Validate. A lot of us, it just are afraid to validate our emotions. And we either push it away or ignore it. And that comes to another experience. And that becomes pattern. And the pattern becomes stronger. Until we realize the pattern we cannot take anymore.
Yes, agree.
Therefore, awareness saves our time, and acknowledging it allows us to realize that I have a choice right away. Continue the procrastination or just say, oh, you're here. Hello. I have things to do. I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. I have other things to do. And then move on. And then you look back, you say, oh, I'm glad I pushed it away. And it makes me easier to witness it without the engagement.
Yes. Yeah, I think
Yeah, that's all. Knowing it, validating it, no judging.
Yes.
If you want to learn, there is no... The judging has a different element when we are learning through awareness. The judging becomes the, oh, this is how I want to do it. Oh, let me try that one. Therefore, the discrimination comes to the also flow of the reality of discovering, doing the responding to whatever is there for us to move forward with.
Yeah. I guess what many, like what you said, refusing or ignoring, I think the best way for many people watching or listening right now, also in my experience, it's acknowledging that you're feeling what you're feeling and no judgment, just watching or witnessing and let it flow. And then you're recognizing again. By listening to what we're saying, people would say, oh, it's so super easy for both of you to say that because it takes a lot of practice. It's not a one-time work. It's a constant. It's a daily or whatever works for you. But start with acknowledging that there's nothing wrong, like what Mariam was saying, that it's a wave, you know, it's a roller coaster. Instead of suppressing, repressing, refusing, ignoring, that in the end will be a bigger that will just explode that we're not able to handle. You know, acknowledge the root cause now, acknowledge the pain now, and, you know, embrace, give yourself love. I think we really have to, in my opinion, to express that we deserve love. We are worthy and deserve of expressing love to ourselves. that whenever we're feeling that, it's a history, right? There's a conditioning from us that, like what you said, what is happening there? Why am I feeling this way? And it's an amazing journey. It's an amazing journey when we started to invest on ourselves, to know ourselves better, because I think Maryam will agree that you will feel that calmness. You will feel that that you are belong, you are enough, that nothing that any, of course, you will still feel the negativity here and there, but you know how to respond this time.
Well, being human, common humanity. When we go and type in Google that the name of the emotions, list will come. You know, name of the physical sensations, list is come. We all, it's belong to the ocean.
Mm.
An ocean always has some movement in it, some changes in it. And the weather system, if it's pouring rain, we all do, if you want to go out, either put a raincoat on or have an umbrella, something to kind of protect ourselves. But with, I just share my part of loving kindness when I get to know self-compassion. Because at the beginning, I really, for years, I learned the cognitive kind of a part of the practicing mindfulness, mm-hmm. and practicing my own deepening in recognizing and understanding and discerning the cognitive processes and the relation with the body and all of that, all the connections. But when I started to bring and integrate self-compassion,
mm-hmm.
I really, really can tell, without the exaggeration, it felt like God took over.
Mm.
And it's inside me. And it's inside me. All that, the house is the body, and God is inside me. And that love and compassion, it just allows all that practice and ups and downs just comes to the flow of loving reality. You know, I was in a doctor's office with one of my loved ones, and the doctor was showing the MRI, and from the point that he was making, I knew that the diagnose is something, and that something might not be something that as a mother I wanted to hear. Right away, I recognized that I need to be in absolute presence of present moment, be a mother of present moment.
Mm.
Absolutely being in reality, expressing itself through love. And that came about before I was just really planning it, programming it. It also unfolded in me. And I looked at the whole kind of pointing out to the MRI result of my loved one without taking a moment of procrastination, of doubting, of feeling fear, until the diagnosis was kind of a heard by my heart. Of course, it hit my heart. I felt the crack in my heart. I saw my loved one in tears, but in a place of non-judging.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yes.
And from this what is, where is the next? I take this ease with easeness.
Mm, love that.
Because I have been lost in high veins so many times,
mm-hmm.
and I did not want to lose that experience of life journey, being mm-hmm. lost. I wanted it to be awake, I wanted it to be human, I wanted it to be mother, I wanted it to be present with my own pain and crack in heart, and then watching my loved one in the same way therefore the hug that we both gave each other, it was quite the right hug we needed, both of us, we needed from each other. And we looked at each other and said, we work it out.
Yes.
We will work it out. Was it easy? No. Did I make it harder? No.
Mm-hmm.
Did I cry when I went for my mindful walk in the in a woods that I take time to go to? Yeah. But did I have thoughts about it? No. I was just tenderly holding my sadness. But I was aware. You know, I was aware. The rest is life, you know, and nothing is permanent.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you to kind of dance with the flow of the life, to really experience of the beauty and the journey of life. And now with the next question I'm going to ask you, because you've covered a lot of I believe, or I assume, I guess this has been your practices as well of being optimistic, because you mentioned of mindfulness, pause, being present, you know, and having that self-compassion. So what, how do you keep yourself optimistic, that in a sense that also to share to other people that will help them to perhaps, I'm a big believer of experimenting, exploring, and curiosity, that maybe they have practiced it, but it didn't work. But I'm always a big believer, maybe this time try it differently, you know, even though you tried it before, because before you were a different condition. But now maybe you try it again, it will have a different impact. But how do you keep yourself optimistic that you can share to people as well?
Well, when you really coming from the with the unfolding of the reality, I think there's not much is there for me to consider as optimistic or negativity.
Mm.
Again, it comes to that equal part. How do I keep it as more optimistic? I meet all my experiences in the present moment.
Mm.
And in the present moment, there is not much of a discrimination of anything. It's what is,
mm-hmm.
and how I can let it be, and how I can take it forward if there is a work that I need.
Mm-hmm.
Yet with things that happen in a daily life, if I lose it, it makes me happy, because it becomes a realization there is something I need to work more on.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that is the opportunity. It becomes the opportunity. It becomes another doorway. You know, I don't know if this learning who I am ever ends, because it's endless.
Yes.
It's infinite.
Yes.
And in this ocean, no matter what waves comes, my role is to not forget I am the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Remain in a subtle presence of who I am in this moment. I lose it. Oh, I lost it in this moment.
Yes.
You know? Okay, is there anything else I can do? Where is it that I need to work on, especially with like all that changes that I go through? Therefore, getting to know my husband, my both kids, as they grow, as I grow, without having negativity. And then when I point of a view, mm-hmm. toward them. Therefore, if it comes like that, where is it that I am missing?
Yeah.
The connection. I get to that kind of a direct experience of where is it that I can do better that works in our relationships in a way that the peace is still here, not pretending that I am peaceful. Peace is there. Because I cannot penetrate from peace by pretending that peace is there. That is for me is let go and let go and let go of discrimination, let go and let go of the labeling, let go and let go with identity, of knowing the life is experiential. There is nothing else but the experience. And the better I play in this life, my role, my true role, my human role, Mariam role as a human being, my beingness, I only can understand it when I go to that negativity and see why it's there. And then not to judge it if it's a negativity. How do I transform that? That brings me, always gives me the space of optimism for whatever comes. Therefore, I remain optimistic. Although something comes and tell me like, it's not, the situation is not as optimistic. And then I realize what is it that I identify with? And it's an obstacle. Where am I in this? How I am on my way. There's a lot of time I still capture myself on my way. That old self is on my way. And I need to let that go. That letting go keeps me in an optimistic space of going into the journey of this life that has presenting itself to me.
Beautiful. I've learned like so many, one of the things that really caught me up is like, we are the ocean, you know, we're the ocean, and letting go, that's a big, big one. And be into the experience in this life or the journey that we're having. It's calming, even though
you're learning.
Yeah.
It's learning, it's growth, it's wisdom, it's actualization. Actualization is doesn't come in one place. Actualization is constantly coming and going and growing and coming and going and growing. Enlightenment is not getting enlightened in one thing. Enlightenment is also coming and going. It's all through the experiences. And if there is no experience, I don't know where enlightenment is in my life.
Yes, we don't know who we are as we are not open for experience, right? And so I think those things that you have shared with us, very, very powerful. And I cannot reiterate more or stress more the power of being in the present moment, because we, many of us being so caught up of focusing on the future, and also as what you mentioned on the past, whereby this is where we are right now. This is what we can do right now. Whatever we are feeling this moment, this is the best place what we can do right now. We can change everything this moment, you know, not yesterday, right, not right. Tomorrow, but we are in here. And, you know, I think many, many people who are watching or listening right now that going through perhaps in a chapter of changing place or new relationship or finding themselves, and they find this conversation that we're having very, very helpful, and they want to reach out to you to say practice or, you know, experience that mindfulness meditation or having a conversation just to experience your introduction, where they can reach you.
I am still working on my website, which is pilotmind.org. But the best way, if you guys messaging me from LinkedIn.
Awesome.
I am on Facebook. Again, Mariam Nozemi, nothing more. But the best way, I think, is through the LinkedIn.
Awesome.
It's where we are. So this is a space that connected us together.
Yes,
let's exactly. let's have a community of LinkedIn friends. Therefore, they can message me, and I would be very happy. And I do hope that this conversation between you and me kind of was helpful.
For sure.
Helpful for all of us to see if we leave the judgments of who we need to be who we are. There's a big place, big playground, different playground. And it's safer. You go slow, you go far, but it's all learning opportunity.
Yes.
And no judgment, no judgment. In present moment, there is no judgment. Just a present moment can tenderly hold us in all that essence quality of present moment. It's just awareness is also part of that quality. I would be happy if anybody would think that my support in their growth or transactions or just getting to know whatever. I don't know with what cause people might contact me, really, because I can put so many testimony from different age level with different community, different type of issues. Therefore, I would respect the time that anybody would like to have from me. That's my job. And I cannot begin to tell you how important you are in your own role.
Beautiful.
And how beautiful you are in a subtle kind of a wave of this role. And it makes me proud looking at another woman I call my friend and tell you to please. Please keep doing your work.
Thank you.
Keep bringing all of us together. Keep putting out all these that it, you know, information, resources, ways of getting to know ourselves or responding better to life to your audience.
Yes, thank you.
You are playing absolutely beautiful role, and I really bow for what you do. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you Mariam. It's both work, and of course this episode or this conversation will not be as possible if you're not as going to be as vulnerable, as open with your mission and purpose of sharing your voice of your story to who you are and how powerful it is of knowing who you can be, you know, or who you are truly, that just covered by a lot of fogs, right? And yeah. Before I let you go, Mariam, since you in introduction that you help many different level of ages, and I just want to ask you, if there's only one specific message that you would like to share to people in their adult time or in the early middle age, I would say, and young people on knowing themselves, because there's still a lot of fears behind diving into knowing ourselves better. What message would you like to leave with us?
Don't be ever afraid to stand up for who you are from the start of your birth. Because that's where all these investigations will start, and it brings a lot of motivations to go after the purpose, whatever purpose that life has for you, with clarity in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, and in your spirit.
Wonderful.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
That's beautiful. Oh God, oh God. That just like gave me goosebumps. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mariam. And for everyone watching or listening right now, thank you as well. Very, very hopeful that you find this very, very encouraging, very inspirational, and very motivating, and hopeful that you will take one simple action on this episode. And do not be worried. I'm going to put Mariam contact details on LinkedIn or on this blog, on YouTube, everywhere. So whenever that may be, you will be able to connect with her. Once again, thank you. Thank you, Mariam. And thank you, everyone. Yes. So
namaste.
Yeah. Namaste. Until next time, everyone, with yours truly, Cindy Marie, here to empower your life. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a fantastic conversation with Mariam. Did you get those powerful and encouraging messages? What insights did you get from this episode? And what one small step of action that you can commit to discover yourself better? Drop your comments below. And to support this show, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and share so that we can reach more people to empower lives. And you get notified when a new episode is out. Until next time, remember, stay optimistic. Practice mindfulness to know who you are more. Keep taking action. Believe in yourself. Stay on your game because you've got what it takes to achieve your dreams and make an impact in this world. Be unstoppable.